Okay, so Brett Hayes, Associate Professor of Political Science at Union College. Brett, I can't wait to have this conversation because a lot of people are looking at some of the contentious races in New York State. Now, the governor, Andrew Cuomo, has targeted a number, perhaps five, of the congressional candidates in the area where we're broadcasting from, Congresswoman Stefanik, John Faso. Those are places in which an aroused Democratic electorate could make a big difference.
It absolutely could. I mean, I think one of the things, if we're kind of starting big picture here, that you're hearing out of the Democratic side is that they're going to contest every race across the country, right? So they're gonna try to find any candidate that can win in any district nationwide, and then going down from there. We know that Democrats believe that they have to challenge everywhere, but there are certain playing fields that are going to be more advantageous than others. If we look at the special elections in Alabama, or if we're looking at the Virginia gubernatorial election, one of the things that you see there is that the Republican candidates were struggling in affluent suburbs, right? So if you're thinking about places like the 19th Congressional District in New York, that's a place that just seems like it'll be very vulnerable given what we've seen elsewhere. Now, it's a little bit difficult to project from special elections to the congressional elections, the general elections. But nevertheless, what this is suggesting is that the kind of affluent suburbs are not going to be as red as they traditionally are, which means that a highly mobilized left may, in fact, be able to make up any kind of deficit that the district might otherwise have. So, I think that helps also cast some light on Faso and Stefanik's no vote in the tax reform bill, right? They both cited the SALT deductions, right, the state and local tax deduction cap, as being something that they couldn't support, right? That it's going to hurt their district, that it's going to hurt New Yorkers. But there's something to the fact that there are some affluent districts involved here that they really depend on for support. And we know that the SALT deduction benefits affluent homeowners in the United States, right? And so it's about kind of those affluent suburbs that Republicans tend to be pretty dependent on in order to have success, and the vulnerabilities that are created by doing things that might mess with their support, right? So all of that is to suggest that I think you're going to see a lot of money flooding into the races like in the 19th and the 21st congressional district, and to see if in fact that some of that money can help create greater mobilization, greater messaging, and a more viable opportunity to challenge.
So we saw Rob Astorino, who is the Westchester, you're talking about suburbs, Westchester County executive, go down to defeat.
Right.
That has to be a bit of a tea leaf, doesn't it?
I think so. I mean, I think we've seen enough of these now that it's suggesting, I mean, you'll hear people talk about the Democratic wave, a potential Democratic wave. And it is hard to extrapolate from special elections, and we're a long way from November 2018. Yet, because of the hostility to Trump, the motivation that we've seen on the left, the mobilization, the organization, the influx of talent that is emerging, people are deciding, on the left to run, right? The numbers of women that we've seen engaged that have filed paperwork to run is just remarkable. And all of that is suggesting that there are some tea leaves that we can read that are suggesting some kind of momentum going into the election as of at least this point.
Now, you're a political expert par excellence. I want to ask you a question. How important is how good the candidate is? I say that because we saw Zephyr Teachout go down to tremendous defeat with John Faso in the previous congressional election. Zephyr Teachout was the star of the left. She had come very close to defeating Andrew Cuomo, especially upstate New York. But I have to say, I was at those debates, and John Faso was a very articulate, confident candidate, where she was not. And I always thought that since he agreed to all of those debates where he did so well, that has to be, you can't discount the fact that a good candidate is worth a lot.
No, in the sports metaphor, right, you got to play the game. Talent clearly matters, right? You just can't run anything. I mean, these generic polls are informative, but they're not sufficient. They don't guarantee anything. What you need are highly talented individuals that are going to be able to create a narrative that's appropriate for a congressional district. Mobilize support, speak to and understand what the constituent demands are. And I think importantly, when we're thinking about like the 19th, one of the things that's been notable is that the 19th New York congressional district, the Democrats have not done a very good job of bringing talent from that has deep roots in the district, right? There's this sense that they're bringing in people from outside to bring on or to take on Faso or before that Gibson, and the problem there is that there's an authenticity problem. You know, so is this really one of us? Is this somebody that's going to understand our particular needs? And you have to have people that can check that box. If you don't, it's a problem. You have to have people that have done the work. That's something that is still, they will sometimes talk about retail politics in America. That's still something that you must do. You have to, you know, understand your district. You have to work the district. You have to get both elite and local support. And we'll see if Democrats are doing that. But my sense of the universe is that some of this energy that's percolating will mean that there's more talent within each district to draw from. And that should pay some dividends for Democrats in the coming election.
Well, you know, look, the Democrats are very proud of the fact that they're going to have a candidate in every congressional district this time out. And I have to say, somewhat cynically, that every political science graduate that you put out there who may be 25 years old right now thinks that they could be a congressman and are running for Congress in many of these districts. You have 6 and 7 people. Is it possible, and we only have a minute here, that the Democrats will in fact clobber themselves?
Is it possible? Sure, it's possible. But one of the things that parties have traditionally been good at is identifying talent, right? In other words, that people are going to come forward, and some people will be very good and some people may not be. But the mechanisms that the party has a tendency to bring talent to the fore, right? And so a deeper pool of talent is more likely to bring some people that are going to avoid some of those problems. So is it a real possibility? Yes. It's a possibility that you're going to have novice candidates that make novice mistakes.
You may have six guys and or six people, six women, and they may, you know, bite each other's heads off.
Well, yeah, although sometimes that's good, right? In other words, that sometimes that robust competition in a primary can really hone you for the general. And so even the degree to which there's going to be a lot of competition, perhaps for the party's nomination, could in fact help create more sophisticated, more nuanced, more engaged challengers.
It's always wonderful to talk to Brad Hayes, who's Associate Professor of Political Science at Union College, our scholar in residence. And Brad, we want to thank you for showing up. It's great to hear your voice.
Thanks, Alan.